Welcome to NJASA's Frontline Leadership for Extraordinary Times video podcast series. Our guest today is Olga Ugelmeyer, Superintendent and Chief Education Officer of the Elizabeth School District. Thank you, Olga, for taking time out of your busy schedule and for participating in our fifth video podcast featuring superintendents throughout the state. Before we begin now, how are you and your family doing?
Oh, good afternoon, Rich, and thank you for this opportunity to participate in NJASA's Frontline Leadership in Extraordinary Time podcast. My family and I are doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
You know, speaking of you and your family, you have very deep roots in Elizabeth, I've discovered. Your mother taught in Elizabeth for better than 20 years. You went through the school system and graduated from Elizabeth High School. Before becoming superintendent, you served as a classroom teacher, a variety of administrative positions as a supervisor of early childhood education, assistant superintendent, and now as superintendent. So having a long history in Elizabeth, you understand the school system better than anyone, I suspect. What are some of the unique challenges now facing your district?
Certainly, it has been a true dream come true to be able to serve my community, and having been a graduate of the Elizabeth High School and being able to serve at a classroom level and the various administrative positions, I believe it truly prepared me for this role and responsibility. And I've had amazing mentors along the way, as you can imagine. What we are experiencing at this time with this pandemic crisis, I could probably categorize the challenges in three separate buckets. The first being a challenge that my colleagues and I have all experienced with this process, and it began with the issue of internet access. So we had prepared extensively for the rollout of our e-remote learning plan for all of our students. As you know, Elizabeth serves over 29,000 students, so we certainly worked day and night in order to launch our plan. And as part of that process, we had surveyed our parents in order to gauge how many of our parents did not have the adequate supports in place defined as internet access. And once we reviewed that data, we immediately reached out to our board for their support in order to provide a contract that would enable all of our families to have the appropriate supports in place. We were very fortunate because immediately upon engaging in conversations with Altice as our local internet provider, they offered a free service to all of our families that did not have internet access. And that immediately helped us right from the onset. We had closed our doors on March 16th, and March 17th was the first day of our e-remote learning plan. And we were very fortunate that we were able to support our entire community with the appropriate access. We've had a one-to-one laptop initiative in our district for many years. It is currently supporting our students in grades 3 to 12 with a variety of programs that have been designed specifically to support our learners during this time. Our general education students, our bilingual students, our special needs students, we've designed programs to support. However, what was important in keeping with the New Jersey Department of Education's expectations in an effort to be able to create a plan that ensured equitable access to instruction for all of our students, we had to be mindful of our lower grades as well. So our pre-K to second grade, pre-K kindergarten, first and second grade students were provided with instructional packets. And that leads us into our second challenge. While we were in session, we were able to provide our students with instructional packets that were handed out on the last day of school, being March 16th. And we had prepared enough content to support our students for 30 days of instruction. Well, we are now coming up on our 30th day of instruction, and we needed to have a plan in place in order to continue to support our children in pre-K through second grade. And we were fortunate enough to have the support of our board of working with one of our printing companies, where our supervisors and our instructional coaches developed the content. We provided that all of that content to the printing company. We invested over $100,000 in having those packets reproduced and mailed to our families so that they could begin phase two, which essentially supports our children from today, actually April 21st, through June 15th. It's very difficult to predict what the whether we will be reopening, so we have prepared a plan that will support all children through our last day of school being June 15th. My third challenge, I would define as the ability to lift the spirits of all of our team members and our students during such a difficult time. And in Elizabeth in particular, we have experienced loss. We lost four of our teachers. And in fact, today I had to communicate with regard to the loss of one of our support staff, one of our security guards. So as you can imagine, not only the loss of our team members, but also coping with the loss our children have experienced of having lost a mother or a father during this time. And that challenge was addressed by pulling together our mental health support team. We have an amazing district psychologist, Dr. Lucila Hernandez, and she oversees our trauma plans, our crisis team members. And it was through her efforts of designing the appropriate supports for our families, for all of our team members, that we were able to try and address the loss that we experienced, as you can imagine. So those are really the three areas that we faced as this new experience of dealing with a very lengthy school closure. But we've also learned a lot, and we're very proud of our teachers and all of our team members, because they have truly risen to the level of expectations that we have in Elizabeth. They're supporting children each and every day online. They're engaging in professional development sessions. They are communicating with parents. It has been quite an experience throughout this month that we have been closed.
We're finding that in our cities, this is such an incredible challenge, and you governing and directing the staff of a system serving over 29,000 pupils is just an incredible accomplishment. And as many people know, Elizabeth has enjoyed a great reputation of providing education for its students and being at the forefront of many of the urban centers in New Jersey. Even with that preparation, you're having so much difficulty now in going beyond that first month. What an incredible story of working with the printer to get those packets out. That's a challenge that many districts are facing right now. And you mentioned as well, Olga, that you're working with your school board, and you have a great relationship that you're reflecting on now, not only in establishing goals and continuing instruction now and accountability for what's going on there. How do you collaborate with the board now in this very unusual environment that we're in?
It continues to be a wonderful and very productive relationship. Our board and I communicate on a daily basis, so that has continued. They are incredibly supportive of my recommendations, and we spend hours discussing our communications with our parents. I'd also like to mention that I have an incredible relationship with the mayor of our city, Mayor Bulwidge. We have, from the onset, we have communicated on a daily basis. We communicate with our community on a weekly basis. So essentially, there are two communications that go out to our parents weekly, updates with regard to instruction, and also the mayor and I have joint communications that we issue every week to keep our parents informed and to ensure that our community is supported in every way possible. So really, it has been a tremendous collaborative process between our mayor and our Board of Education in supporting our school community throughout this process. It's been wonderful.
It's directly to that third challenge that you talked about. I think in times of trouble, whether they're catastrophic events such as Sandy or in times such as this, people really turn to their schools for sense of hope, a place where that they can count on and in this case, be fed and you know, sometimes even in bad weather, we have them coming to our schools to literally live for a period of time. So what are you and your staff, we talked about this certainly working with some of your staff, but what are your teachers doing in particular to reach out and help their families feel confident and comfortable? Because we talk about the academic work, but that social and emotional connection is a real critical one as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. As part of our e-remote learning plan, we were very intentional with regard to incorporating a mental health piece. We needed to ensure that our children continue to receive the same level of support that they receive in school. Even with their being at home, they would continue to receive the services. In addition to that, we have asked our guidance counselors and our social workers to reach out to our families, to inquire with regard to any supports that may be needed, which in turn helps me to be able to reach out to folks in our community with regard to any particular services that they may be in need of. I'll share with you, when we launched our grab and go breakfast and lunch program, we had closed our doors on March 16th and our breakfast and lunch program was initiated on March 17th, so almost immediately. And one of the needs communicated through our guidance counselors and our social workers with regard to families that did not have any means of being able to access the food at our 8 distribution sites as a result of perhaps being disabled themselves or having other health issues that prevented them from being able to leave their homes. And that information came through our child study team managers, our guidance counselors, our social workers as a result of surveying our families in order to know in advance what the needs were. As a result of working with our mayor, he pledged the support of Elizabeth police officers. They are stationed at our 8 food distribution sites, and every Monday and Wednesday, we provide on Mondays 2 days worth of food, and on Wednesdays, we provide 3 days worth of food. So we're covering the entire week for our families. The officers deliver the food to those families that have been identified that are in need. So I think that that's a perfect example with regard to how critical it is that we are ensuring that we're addressing every aspect of our children's lives, not only the instruction, but also being very cognizant that living through this pandemic virus impacts us in ways that we need to be in tune with. And our mental health folks have been phenomenal in being able to provide that data that I need in order to respond appropriately.
That's a fantastic story about that connection. You know, and you talk about that that connection a little bit, as I think about the school year, it kind of has a pace and a cadence to it. And we're typically, or coming to what have been a typical time where we're really beginning a kind of a celebratory phase. We're taking a look at how kids have accomplished. We're looking at proms and we're looking at graduation. And as I talk to my colleagues, I know that in conversations with their communities, they're not quite sure what way to go with regard to recognizing students as this year has been so unusual. What kind of conversations are happening in Elizabeth?
Certainly, I would love to share. So almost immediately, our high school principals, we have 7 high school academies, and our principals and I, we conference twice a week virtually, and we cover all topics, everything from the day-to-day instructional supports to this very issue with regard to how to acknowledge our seniors, how to support them through such a difficult year. Everything from award recognitions and their prom and their graduation. And I'm looking forward to having a conversation with my senior officers that are part of the student government to discuss how it is that we can best support them, how it is that we can together plan for an event within the guidelines of the CDC, of course. We're discussing options such as a virtual graduation and ways in which we can make that special, memorable, that they can hold on to, provide them with a copy of that virtual graduation. And that's only really the beginning. We intend to continue this conversation with our students and be able to make this year as special as possible, absent not being able to provide our annual graduation, which Typically, we have 1,400 graduates that attend at Williams Field, so it is quite a celebration, as you can imagine. So our principals and I were taking this very seriously. Our board also, we've already started that conversation in terms of how do we best respond, how do we work to try and make it as special as possible. It is truly a challenge for all of our communities at this present time. And certainly we never imagined we would see ourselves in this situation, but we have to be able to make it the best of it and be able to respond appropriately.
Absolutely. I know in the conference calls that I'm having with county members and state meetings, there are a number of topics, and that's a challenge. One that we have to be careful about not creating a situation where many people want to come together to celebrate because of the distancing regulations, and trying to fight that same spirit of how do we really engage with our kids and help them feel valued and really acknowledge the accomplishments that they've made. So we appreciate your sharing that. Before we go today, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our members and with those watching our podcast?
Oh, certainly. I would have to say that I feel as a superintendent that I have been fully supported. The weekly virtual conference calls with the Department of Education, our Commissioner of Education has been incredible in terms of responding on a personal level, having reached out when we experienced our loss in Elizabeth. The guidance that is being provided, our County Superintendent's Office as well. It has truly been a very rich community that has gotten together and been very supportive. My colleagues in Union County as well, we spend time on virtual conference calls and sharing ideas. And so really, we're not working in isolation, we're working together. And I have to say that that has been one of the benefits of having to rely on technology solely in order to be able to do our work. The fact that we've really come together as a team to be able to support each other and help kind of travel together on this journey.
Yes, two reactions to that. One is that I think people don't often realize that this is a first for our commissioner and his staff as well. And they're reaching out to get ideas to share and collaborate. You know, certainly during these very difficult times. And as you talk about what we're doing in education and even what we're doing with regard to teleconferencing and those kinds of things, what does that portend for the future of education as we resume and get back to normal? How might we be better as a result of all of this?
Absolutely.
Olga, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate taking time in between all of your meetings and things that you have to do to operate that very large school district. It's really been valuable for me, and I'm sure it will be for our listeners.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
And to our podcast viewers and listeners, remember, we'll be distributing one video podcast interview per week. So please monitor your email, visit njasa.net, and subscribe to our NJAS podcast. Until next time, I'm Rich Baza. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay well.